I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time. We become a part of time.
Everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. I think we've got an interesting show in store for you this evening, jam-packed with information as usual. We'll be focusing on the concept that believing is seeing, as well as discussing the four laws of the universe and getting into reality creation. Time permitting, we'll talk about the elephant in the room, which is the conditions of the world at the moment. But before we get in to all of that, I'd like to kick off the program in the usual manner by having a little bit of japa yoga or mantra repetition. So if the guys in the booth would play that short clip by Sri Swami Satchidananda, that would be much appreciated.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari
Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
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 Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om
Hari 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 Om Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om
Hari 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 Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari
Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om
Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari
Hari Hari Hari Om
Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari 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 Om Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari Om Hari Om
Om
Hari Om Hari Om
Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari Om Hari Om
Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari Om
Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om
Hari Hari Om
Hari Om Hari
Om Hari Hari Om
Yes, that was Sri Swami Satchidananda, and a clip from back in the 1970s. He was one of my spiritual teachers, and the Om Shanti at the end there means peace. I'd like to now give my usual disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET Yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET Yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And if you're a new listener to ET Yoga, you should also know that I applaud your efforts to distance yourself from mainstream medical, big pharma, mainstream media, and technology as much as humanly possible. I'd like to now give my thanks, gratitude, and appreciation for the ET Yoga listening audience just for being you, because you're already making the optimum difference just by being you. And others become aware of the difference you're already making when you're doing your passion. I'd like to also invite the ET Yoga listening audience to email me, which you can do at paperfungo, PAPERFUNGO, paperfungo at yahoo.ca. I'm always interested in hearing your suggestions concerning program content, and nothing makes my day more than hearing about your successes utilizing concepts, ideas, and techniques that you pick up on this program. I'd also like to remind our listeners that you can always hear the archives or a replay of this program at no charge, no strings attached. And an easy way to do that is to go to my website at etyoga.com. And on the main page, there's an Radio Archives button. You just hit that one button, takes you to the archives. And I know over the course of 14 years that I've been doing this program, a lot of my listeners have mentioned that they like to take notes during the show, and also appreciate this feature so they can go back and listen to parts of the program that either I went through very quickly and they didn't have the opportunity to grasp the information or make notes from it. And they can do that at their leisure by utilizing the feature of listening to the archives. Also at that site, etyoga.com, is my latest book, which is called ET Yoga 2012 and Beyond, The True Nature of Reality. It's available there for $9.95 as a download. I'd also like to highly suggest my ebooks. And on the page called Shop, there's a number of items there that I certainly appreciate your support. And I put this website together with the thought that it would provide, obviously, not all the information that you need, but to be a one-stop shop for yoga information. And my ebooks connect with about 1,500 pages on the internet, so it points you in directions that would save you a lot of time researching certain topics. And tonight's program, I'm going to start off by talking about the concept that you get what you concentrate on, and it's not seeing is believing, but rather believing is seeing. And this brings us to the topic of fear. And all fear has some element of faulty reasoning. When energy flows through a negative belief or definition, it is experienced as fear. and it is not in alignment with your higher self. Energy that has flowed through positive beliefs is experienced as excitement, joy, magic, and love, and is in alignment with your higher self. All fear ultimately relates to the fear of death, which is the core fear. But underlying this is unconditional love. The entire universe was created with love. Its physical characteristic in 3D is apparently gravity. I refer the listeners to the Dan Winter website for a technical explanation. And those who create fear in order to protect you co-create you as a victim. And this victim mentality is what currently permeates our culture. First and foremost, if you understand that we are 100% the creators of our outer world and experience, then we take 100% responsibility. As soon as you blame someone for your current circumstance, you create yourself as a victim and powerless. In order to unload a lot of past emotional baggage, it is necessary to take full responsibility for you. Now there's no one to blame. Onwards and upwards, as they say. And according to the ultimate truths of reality, if I am the only one who can create in my reality, then I must be the only authority of it. However, in an attempt to avoid taking responsibility for being that authority, I can choose to falsely believe that someone or something else has power over me. A very nice way to deal with fear is to put light on it. And a little technique that I picked up years ago from Bashar. He used to say, "Oh joy, a fear." Like a key on a piano that is out of tune, fear grabs your attention so you can tune it up. Turn this curiosity to joy through proper understanding and fear will vanish. Fear and pain exist because we believe we are not loved in a particular area. So when we realize that it is a false belief, the pain no longer exists and our fear turns to joy. Fear needs its polarity in order to flourish. If you view a situation with compassion and embrace the fear, you can transform it. I should mention that self-judgment related to shame or guilt that is stored in the subconscious is another cause of dis-ease. In some cases, this is fear that has been moved to denial and buried away. Offering your guilt, shame, and judgments to God or your belief in a higher power is very useful. Fear can also be concealed by judgment, as what you judge, you fear. Another useful technique is to replace the negative belief with a positive one. I refer the listeners to Manifesting Your Dreams in the 21st Century. It's a CD available at bashar.org. This is a great explanation of using the tools to identify and change your beliefs, ultimately empowering you to live an exciting, joyous, magical, and love-filled life by stating that you choose this because you can feel and you're supported by the unconditional love of God. You get what you concentrate on, and it's not seeing is believing, but rather believing is seeing. For example, guaranteed, if you're trying to manifest more money and don't have it, then either you spend more time thinking about the lack or believing in the lack than you do believing you have it. Another possibility is that you are attached to the outcome. In yogic terms, attachment means tension to a desired outcome. As Swami Satchidananda would say, make no appointment and you'll have no disappointment. There is always an element of selfishness when we become attached to outcomes. Do the action or make the choice, but without the attachment to the result. Consequently, even if you have a positive belief, it might not manifest in the near future if you are looking for it. Trust that it will, and believe it and it will manifest. Imagination is one of the motivating agencies that helps transform your beliefs into physical experience. Master Kathumi says that your intentions to manifest your needs should be realized, and if not, it's because you may be ungrounded. Fear, living in the past, and living in the future are states of awareness that unground. Another possibility is that your greatest area of support in terms of abundance lies when you work in the area of excitement or your highest joy. In other words, are you following your highest joy in life? I know many of us think that we can't do our highest joy as a living because we don't think we can earn enough money. However, as Bashar would point out, it's important to do something in that direction every day, and eventually you will discover that the world will support you because your highest joy is in alignment with your higher self. The studies I have read indicate a very high percentage of the population work at jobs that they dislike, which must create a huge amount of stress. It would seem that a reevaluation of priorities is necessary to see if these jobs assist us to meet our needs or wants. One more factor is the soul contract you agreed to prior to incarnating this time. It may be that your higher self requires a more modest experience this lifetime. Not all of us are supposed to be millionaires. If the big money doesn't happen, take solace in one of Swami Satchitananda's sayings of plan pending God's approval. And by the way, I've noticed that sometimes, you know, if you gain a lot of money, it changes your life experience, and it may be that the things that you are here to learn are not possible, given the bad timing of when you might come into a lot of money. As the old saying is, it's harder for a rich man to go through to get to enlightenment than it is for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And in my opinion, spiritual people are probably best served by coming into money late in life after they've achieved their higher self's intentions and goals in the earlier years. And by the way, Bashar's definition of abundance is the ability to do what you need and want to do when you want to do it. And, of course, there's no mention of money there. And, of course, the biggie is facing your fears and ultimately to claim your total personal power by conquering fear. Always keep in mind that fear does not come from the outside. It is within. Ultimately, this seemingly unloved part of us must also be healed as we become aware that part of our ego creates fear to protect us from perceived threats. Learning to be conscious creators is a process like mastering a violin. We do this all the time, but it is the gap between when we believe in a certain way and when we see it in our outer circumstance that makes us think there is not a direct connection. If you saw this connection as immediate, then you would also have the spiritual development to control it. Imagine if we could materialize every thought with immediate results. What we experience is the world that we believe is the most probable. I'd like to also get into the whole concept that there's basically only four laws operating in the universe. And this information basically does come from Bashar. And before I get into those four laws, I'd like to also mention about those, in addition to the supporting evidence that it's believing is seeing, not seeing is believing. The people like Greg Braden and other scientists are really putting out information that, you know, our universe is holographic and fractal, and it operates much like a giant reality computer program. And like any computer program, they all have a language of interpretation. And it turns out the language of interpretation of the universe is belief. So in effect, what you believe is. And the outer world is a reflection of that. You can't experience anything in this dimension unless you're a frequency match for it. And that concept and those holograms. So, although we've been taught that seeing is believing, it's really just the opposite. Basically, there are four laws operating in the universe. And the first is that you exist. Isness is the only quality that existence has. It does not know how to become non-existence. That which exists has only one quality, to be. And thus, that is the only thing it will always be. Therefore, you may change form, but you will always exist in some way, shape, or form. Another way to think of this is that you already have everlasting life. You can say you have previous incarnations from a linear time point of view, or you can say that ultimately all time is now, and we experience simultaneous births, and both are correct from their perspective. Outside the space and time dimensions, pure spirit is an energy that was never created and will never end and is eternal, and your higher self is part of this energy. The second basic law is the one is all and the all are one. This means that all the pieces together form the all, and that the one is the one that knows itself simultaneously as all the pieces. Impossible as it is for the human mind to fully comprehend, but possible to experience, is that the thought I is the first thought to appear and the last thought to disappear. True enlightenment, or the state of Sahaj Samadhi, is a state of awareness of the all and can allow you to function through the personality. One of the advanced methods of self-inquiry leads to this experience and also leads you to the technique that I share at the end of every program, which is the Who Am I technique, where the thought I is placed in the center of the forehead. And then mentally be aware that you're not your body, you're not your internal organs, you're not your thoughts, and you're not the spot or awareness. And then what spot? Unfortunately, we get lost thinking we are our thoughts. And when you're lost in anger, you become that. If you have awareness that you are angry, it's already a sign that you're starting to regain your peace. Your peace or center is very important. If you lose your peace, you're not of use to yourself or others, but become part of a negative synchronicity. The third law of the universe, what you put out is what you get back. There is no objective reality. There is an idea of a consensus reality. And there is the idea of an objective reality as a mass consciousness or perception. Physical reality doesn't exist except as a reflection of what you most strongly believe is true for you. Physical reality is literally a mirror. If you want the image in the mirror to change or smile, then you need to change or smile first. When you focus on lack, you not only believe in lack, but you continually put out the frequency of lack. Make believe at first that you have it, and eventually, because you know that thought and imagination and replacing negative beliefs will work, the outer reflection will change. But just like a seed that is planted, don't go digging it up all the time or become attached to it growing. Know that it will, and it will. Being aware of the possibility creates a shift in consciousness. Let's say you want to stop smoking. You are aware of the concept. Then you build your motivation to succeed, and you change from trying to quit to knowing you will quit. Then, later, you have quit. This is also similar to spiritual attainment. First, you need to know of the possibility of attaining a oneness with your higher self or a Christ consciousness, and then you go through the process of attainment. This is analogous to what a baptism is supposed to reflect, the point at which the seed is planted. Once the seed is planted, the plant will grow. It has been said that a snake sheds its skin at the rate it sheds its skin. Otherwise stated, this law is also the law of attraction. Another adaptable principle for the third law is that all events are inherently neutral. Thus, when you put a positive meaning in, you get a positive experience. And when you put a negative meaning in, you get a negative experience. Try this out and you'll be amazed. It's also consistent with the fact that outer circumstances don't create more circumstances. They only state of being creates outer circumstances. So in fact, you can choose to be in joy or be happy just for the sake of it. You will find that inside of this bubble you are protected and outer counter-beliefs will evaporate. The fourth law is that change is the only constant, and everything changes except the first three laws. Every experience is based on a combination of these four laws. Even the fourth law changes, as change turns to stasis. Then, when it becomes active again, it gives rise to the first three laws. Your behavior, your choices are based on your motivations. Your motivations are based on your emotions, which stem from your definitions, which are your beliefs. Your motivation has two parts to it. You will always choose what you perceive to be the choice that is closest to pleasure and furthest from pain. And here is a new definition of habit. Once you're aware of a habit, it isn't a habit anymore, it's a choice. It is the most important process to get in touch with your beliefs. You can see them reflected in your lives. Even quantum physics is telling us that we live in a holographic universe. And when it comes to body diseasements, I'd like to make a point of sharing just a bit of information about that, because all diseasements will stem from negative emotions. Even the Pleiadians have told us that all disease comes from dysfunctional emotion. And it relates to about 95% of diseasements comes from the following list: doubts, jealousy, envy, anger, hatred, superiority, inferiority, selfishness, separative thinking, judgment, condemnation, anxiety, depression, fear of death and dying, victim consciousness, fear of failure, false pride, unworthiness, lack of self-love, and hopelessness. The physical manifestation of most of this is in the form of toxins in the body. And according to Mary, Mother of Jesus, all disease is caused by the denial of negativity within. Since negativity is a perception based on a value judgment placed upon a neutral event or circumstance, it is essentially an erroneous belief out of which supporting false beliefs spring. Holding an erroneous belief system, especially in a suppressed or repressed form, creates an environment of internal discordance on a subconscious level. Over a period of time, denial of the judgment placed upon some aspect of oneself and then suppressed begins to alter the cellular structure of the area of the body where the memory of the event or circumstance is stored. This cellular alteration has been labeled disease. It's really emotional self-judgment. And over the course of time, I've become aware that there's a few misconceptions in our society. Number one is that our consciousness is in the brain. Our consciousness is not in the brain. Our consciousness is in our auric field. And another little known fact is that the universe Flash is in and out of existence, and it does so rapidly that, of course, our naked eye is not capable of picking up the flicker rate. And the Pleiadians have noted that thought exists in between the flashing in and out of the universe. And when the universe flashes out of existence, your awareness remains. But in point of fact, your physical body isn't even here anymore. And what I've come to know over the course of time is that all disease manifests itself in your auric field first, and then in your physical body. And that's why there are some very effective techniques that are available in the world to help you actually heal your auric field. Of course, doing your inner work and identifying your beliefs is a powerful tool. And another one is Egyptian healing rods. If you don't know about them, they've been around now for, 20 years. Very powerful tools. They're copper and zinc rods that are inside have crystals that were forged in pyramids. There's been lots of research done on them, and holding them for like 10 or 15 minutes is like doing an hour of acupuncture. And not only that, but I've seen Kirlian photography and of people who are sick, and then of people that and then they hold the rods for even 10 minutes and their auric field just lights up like a Christmas tree. So these are really powerful tools that can assist you. In fact, the Kirlian photography of people holding Egyptian healing rods is very similar to people who go into the healing chamber of the Bosnian pyramid. And when they go into this, they do before and after Kirlian photography of people going into that healing chamber, and it shows how it heals their auric fields. So to me, this is really, really cool stuff. And I certainly suggest that you can do some research into Egyptian healing rods and also the healing chamber at the Bosnian pyramid. There's some amazing information coming from that site. And I'd now like to move on to, I guess, one of my favorite topics, which is reality creation. I like to talk about it in three different areas. First, from the time that we're young children until we're like 6 or 7 years old, basically what we're doing is downloading beliefs from our initial caregivers. So our initial kind of hand that we're dealt in life comes from that. And I think it's very important to thank our initial caregivers for all those wonderful beliefs that they gave us. And in many cases, they are really trying to give us the best information that they know at that point in their development. And we should be very appreciative for all those positive beliefs that they pass on to us. But sometimes they pass on to us new beliefs that are not useful anymore. And that's part of your maturity in your spiritual life to identify and discard some of those beliefs that keep showing up all the time. Many people will notice as life goes on that similar circumstances repeat themselves. Similar types of partners, for example, in relationships, keep showing up in your life. And that's because you haven't changed your beliefs. Your beliefs show up in your outer world and reflect back to you, not as a punishment, but to show you what you believe. So, to me, the first area of reality creation, because beliefs manifest. And this is another concept that, for example, one of our top quantum physicist Tom Campbell has recently stated that intention affects future probability. It's just a scientific way of saying that thought creates or belief creates. And in point of fact, back in the 70s, there were multiple books that had at the core of the information the concept that thought creates or belief creates. The Seth Material by Jane Roberts was one of those amazing. All these concepts were brought up 50 years ago. Bringers of the Dawn by Barbara Marciniak, another one that had a lot of information about thought creates or belief creates. In fact, in my opinion, much of the really valid extraterrestrial information that's been channeled to this planet centers around that concept. And even Bashar was giving information back in the 70s about thought creates. Now, there were many other people and sources of information that were also supporting that concept, but those are just three. So what's interesting is that 50 years later, a lot of these things are becoming science. And the people that were tuned into this 50 years ago were benefiting way ahead of the curve of the rest of society. And the huge importance of belief is also reflected in how the powers that be try to focus your attention and then put a spin on the information to get you to believe certain concepts. And in that way, control you. And by the way, it's one of the reasons why I don't purchase cable television, like because I refuse to pay money to be brainwashed. So that's my take on that subject. And the idea here being is that your beliefs are so important. And what I call the first stage of reality creation. Then, to my way of thinking, the second stage of reality creation also is a concept that came from Bashar, in my view, and that's his concept about positive spin. And it ties in with the concept that outer circumstances do not come with built-in meanings. And this is a very, very important concept to grasp, because people assume that, you know, certain circumstances are bad or circumstances are good, but they're not necessarily so. They're not that, and everybody doesn't view these circumstances in the same way. And basically, what he's saying is that we make definitions and emotional spin that we place on outer circumstances. And in reality, circumstances are kind of like a coin with two sides. There's never a totally 100% positive or 100% negative. There's always some element of either in both. And there's, you know, always a silver lining in any circumstance. And the idea here is that there's a simple formula that you can utilize, even if a lot of your friends think a certain event is a negative, you can still place a positive definition and a positive emotional spin on that circumstance, and you can have a positive experience from that circumstance. And the formula is that if you put a negative definition on an outer circumstance and a negative emotional spin, then you'll have a negative experience from that circumstance. And this is always why it frustrates me to hear about certain people that have been diagnosed with certain ailments and basically put in a state of fear. And the first thing you should always do if you're noticing some type of physical dis-ease is put a positive emotional spin on that circumstance. That's the very first thing that comes to my mind. And I've been challenging the ET Yoga listening audience for about 14 years to log their experiences when you're utilizing this technique. In other words, it takes a little while to get used to doing the technique and to it can be difficult when you don't see any possible way that anything good can come from a certain circumstance. And Sri Ramana Maharshi, one of my spiritual teachers as well, used to say that, you know, you thank God for the good things that happen in your life, but not for the bad. That's where you go wrong. And sometimes you learn more from the negative. And I guess the old saying is that if it doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger. It's also true. But the idea here is that even if you can't see any possible way that something can have a good result, you can say that as well. Look, I don't see any possible way that something good can come from this, but I'm willing to give it a try. I'm going to muster up a positive definition for this circumstance, and yeah, get into it. Get into putting some kind of positive emotion and say, I just can't wait to see what possible good can come from this. And you'll find that if you write down the things on a piece of paper that you view as being a negative, and you utilize this technique and then write down the end result, you're going to see that this technique works. And as Bashar would say, when you figure out that it works, it's going to blow your mind. And part of the reason is that so many things are just a con, or, you know, bogus advertising, or making claims that never come true, all this kind of stuff. Well, this is one that can come true, but you do need to play with it a while. Just don't do it once and give up or forget about it. But if you get into this technique, I'd say, like, if there's two techniques that I would say are the most beneficial in my spiritual journey, one's been just the process of meditation, and the other's been utilizing this concept of positive spin, because I've utilized it so many times. In fact, one of the things that I've experienced, at least it's how it works in my world, is about half the time when I'm placing positive spin on something outside that's negative, it just disappears. I mean, it's just gone. And I'm not amazed anymore, because once you get into it, and I think I'm probably one of the I've kind of mastered this technique over the course of 14 years. And as soon as anything comes up that I start to view as negative, I put positive spin on it. And by the way, including the current world condition, because I know the technique works. And this takes us to the third level of reality creation. And I'm going to share with you some information from Merlin the Magician and her book, Merlin's Message. And it goes like this. You're capable of accessing the future through the portal of your imagination. Become fascinated with your future as you live it in the now. Time travel can help you resonate with your ability to experience all that you desire. As you reflect upon something from your past, feel that memory come alive. You are breathing life into that memory now. All reality, past, present, and future, occurs simultaneously in this moment. There is no other place that it can exist. You can travel into the past as you live it now. Those emotions are easily accessible. Allow the power of your emotions to bring forth what you are wanting. You move energy in the direction of the scenarios you envision. With some practice, the ease of tapping into the past can be applied towards creating your future. You literally travel to another time as you live that future now. And this is the key phrase. Imprint the future you desire as a memory, and it is done. Memorizing the future makes for magic, magicians. Travel to the inner dimensions. Take a mind trip. Decide on a specific reality you would like to attract into your life. Simply design the dreamscape in which you see yourself living. Who are you? What are you doing? Who are you with? Take a mental picture of what that looks like, a photo thought. As you project that future event, become emotionally involved in the scenario by feeling it now. Revel in the luxury of knowing this is you by being there in your heart and mind now. As you do that, you are deliberately placing yourself at the very center of creation. Getting all your physical senses fully involved encodes a powerful message in your cellular memory. It gets easier and easier to access as it becomes a memory of what has been. Be detail-oriented about this, to the extent that it feels good to do so. What are the sights, smells, tastes, and sounds that make up your dream scene? Visit that reality again and again, just as if you were simply strolling down memory lane. Continue to refine these images over and over. Allow these visions to become like a vivid memory that you can easily recall at will. As you put your energy behind your future, you will see it manifest before you. Now you're mastering the magic of creation. To manifest, first visualize, then familiarize, and memorize. Those things that you want are no longer outside of you. There's absolutely nothing separating you from your desires energetically. As you say it exists, creators, it exists. When the frequency of vibration emitted matches fulfillment, it can be no other way. And that's a quote from Marilyn the Magician. And by the way, she's got an amazing website at the Creating Camelot Club. And it's all about fourth and fifth dimensional energy. Well, I guess there's a little bit of time left to talk a little bit about the elephant in the room, which is the current world condition, or what I call the AI takeover of humanity, which is also manifested through the Alpha Draconians. And I guess it's hard for people who don't know about extraterrestrials to really understand, you know, what's really going on in the world, because if you don't understand that the Alpha Draconians have been pretty much manipulating humanity for thousands of years, then, you know, you can't really get the full picture. And, of course, there are reflective organizations like what we call Illuminati that are the gophers for these Draconians. In fact, Simon Parks once stated that there's a meeting once a month and of some of these high-ups, the head chair is an Alpha Draconian. So I can take that for what it's worth. The bottom line is, as I see it, what we're seeing is a kind of a dual-pronged end result here. In one aspect of it is depopulation, and the main method is through the vaccines. And the other issue is getting enough nanoparticles inside humanity so that we can be controlled through the 5G system and hooked up to an AI computer and become like a hive mind or cyborgs. So to my way of thinking, what we're seeing right now is a massive rollout of this agenda, which basically is humanity is in peril. And in my opinion, I was very pleased to see some pushback from states like Texas and Mississippi, because to my way of thinking, saying no to the masks is one of the first steps. Because if you succumb to that one, then you succumb to all the rest of the restrictions that they try to put on us, and the freedoms that they're taking away. And also, in my opinion, this rollout is in direct violation of the Nuremberg Codes. And I do now see that there are lawyers and people that are building a case for having a trial for these people that are behind this atrocity that's happening across the planet. And I also suggest people look at an interview I saw recently at Project Camelot of Miles Johnston, interviewed by Kerry Cassidy. It was quite concerning, because I don't know if the information is true, so I'm just pointing out what I heard on this program. But he states that they're putting prions in some of these vaccines, and prions are where the one of the ingredients in mad cow disease. And if that's so, and mad cow disease is, I don't know, by definition, they say it's infectious but not contagious. But to my way of thinking, this could create quite a negative scenario potentially. And I really think it's time that humanity pushes back, and that we're not waiting for someone to come by and fix this problem for us. I'd like to now wish my listening audience my sincere best towards your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance, and also success in the ascension process. And I highly suggest you check out Solara on Ra, S-O-L-A-R-A-A-N-R-A. Solara on Ra. She's got some really good meditations connecting you with other people that are involved with the creating and activating the ascension grid. And I'd like to close by sharing with you the Who Am I technique, as taught by Sri Ramana Maharshi, where you place the thought I in the center of your forehead and become that spot. So just become that spot in the center of your forehead. And you can ask the question then, who am I? You can do it once or multiple times or whatever you feel with. You can play with the situation. And then you state the following. I am not my body. I am not my internal organs. I am not my thoughts. I am not this spot. What spot?
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all things.